Hello and welcome to Fantasy Talks Live, the podcast that came out of the Jose's Amazing World's YouTube channel. Original video recordings of all the episodes in the podcast can be found at Jose's Amazing World's in YouTube. Listeners beware, as plot spoilers can be discussed in any of the episodes in the podcast. And now, without further delay, enjoy the show. All right, so we are live to discuss The Howling Dark, which is book two in the Sun Eater series by Christopher Rocchio. Now, Ian was here 2 minutes ago. We were ready to go. We were having some connection issues. So he was trying something. He's disappeared. And I think just going to wait. Hopefully he'll connect in a few seconds. Maybe he's restarting the computer and we'll get cracking. Because otherwise, this is going to be a bit of a lonely chat if Ian doesn't make it back. Because like I said, he was here a second ago. So it's one of those moments, not TV or radio trained. I need to sort of fill the gap until he joins in. So I don't know, I've already recorded my review of Howling Dark, but I didn't want to post it until after we had the conversation and we dissected the book, because I wanted for Ian to not know what I thought or felt about the book, and I didn't want to know anything that he thought or felt about the book. So the conversation that we were meant to have today was as honest as possible, and as sort of to just to gather those initial reactions as organically and as honest as possible. However, it looks like that may not happen today unless Ian can get himself connected again. So I am going to check my email to see what's going on, because otherwise, okay, so he's emailed, he's doing a computer restart, okay, that's fine, he must be on his way. Let's send him a quick reply. So he should be on his way, because if he's emailed, but he's probably emailed from the phone. And he's just doing a whole computer restart. It's all right. It doesn't matter. I've already got the next book waiting in the shelf, Demon in White, and that we meant to pick it up in May, so we've still got a couple of weeks to sort of read other things and enjoy other stuff before we get going. And here you are, Ian. You're live now. Can you hear me? Hello. What's going on? Have you activated the microphone? These are the risks of life, isn't it? When technology doesn't want to collaborate, it gets a little bit tricky. You're live, you can wave and say hi. Hello.
Hello. I can hear me. Not sure what's going on a moment.
Yeah, I think there's a slight delay.
I think they're having some issues.
Yeah. Why? Is that better now?
Hear you fine. Okay. But we might have a delay, I guess.
Okay, well, let's get cracking. So, okay, good. First 5 minutes or so, trying to get everything set up. So, Ian, thank you very much for joining today. So, what's your first overall general impression of Howling Dark, book two in this series?
Okay, so it did it again where it was, I thought that it all took time to get to where it actually exploded into just a pretty climactic ending there, which got me to realize, like, crap, okay, I want to continue again. But it did take forever to get to that point. I will have some issues here. God darn it. Let's see here. You know, I'm going to try and see.
Oh, dear. That is not working. I don't know. Okay. Hang on. Let's say. We'll try again. Maybe he should just connect with voice only, overcome these issues, which unfortunately are preventing us from enjoying this conversation, which is a bit annoying, to be honest, because I was quite looking forward to it. Always enjoy a good book chat with Ian, but looks like technology doesn't want to collaborate today. Okay, hang on. There you are.
How's that working?
That looks and sounds a lot better.
Well, this is on my phone right now, so
right. Let me just,
yeah, okay. So I don't know what's going on with the computer here.
Yeah.
Let me just close all this stuff out. All right, I apologize for the technical delays.
It's okay. So just before the last interruption, but this seems like it's going to flow now. So yeah. What's you were saying your general impression of the book was...
Okay, so the book, it did put me into a reading slump because it took forever to get to the parts where I thought, like, holy crap, this is actually pretty darn good. About about the 200 page mark at the very end when everything kind of kicked off. I'm sure you've already said it, but we are going to spoil this stuff. There is going to be spoilers in this chat. But it just took forever to get to that point, and I was just getting frustrated because I would try to read a chapter a day. There's a lot of chapters in this book. It took me about a month and a half to read this, but for some reason, I dreaded picking this book up a lot. There was nothing happening really. So, but I will say it did pick up at the very end, very climactic ending. And I'm like, oh, you've done it again. Because the first book did that, where the first book kind of took a while to get to where the story was. And then it just kind of, it kind of exploded at that end as well, where you're like, oh, I like where this is going. This one just took forever, in my personal opinion, it took forever to get to the huge parts. Like, oh, this is what we read all that for to get to this part. And now I'm kind of like, I am excited to read the third book, but at the same time, I don't want to go 600 pages and then the last 200 to really, you know, reel me in. So this book was frustrating, but at the same time, I'm like, I understand what Rocky was doing, but I just wish that he could leave me. It's probably just me too, because I'm not a huge science fiction reader, so like I'm kind of new to this, so I don't really like a lot of the science fiction stuff that's going on. But the story I can understand now. Like, okay, fine. Now we're finally, are we finally going to get into? And maybe that's just not what that story is about. But I, if you remember when I was reading the first book, I wanted it to be him and his gang going around doing stuff. This one, he basically sat in a cell for a long time. And it, like I said, I'm just rambling. But overall, it was fine. And then the last 200 pages, like, okay, you got me again. I got to read the third book.
I absolutely could sign underneath everything you just said. I share exactly the same thoughts. And I was recording my review of the book just like half an hour before going live, right? Mm-hmm. And I said exactly the same thing. And shock horror, God forbid, this book was giving me whiffs, flashbacks of Wheel of Time, where a lot of nothing happens for a long chunk of the book, and then you have a climactic ending scene that is like a big action piece. And it happened in the first one, it's happening in the second one. If it does the same thing in the third one, I might get actually annoyed. I'm not talking about dropping the series, but maybe not so keen to pick up the fourth book that soon after.
Yeah. And I don't own the fourth book yet, but you're right. Like it might be a little bit, cause I don't want to spend a whole lot of money on the giant paper, the big trade paperback. I know there is a mass market coming for like $8 here in the States. So, but yeah, you're right. Like, I don't want this formula to continue like that, where it's just like filler, 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 and then big, huge action scenes at the end to really, really in. You're right. I would get a little frustrated. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, just ideas, points, thoughts, right? We talked about in the first book how it developed the secondary characters very little, if not much at all, right? The supporting cast of characters is not very well fleshed out, other than the Doctor.
Yeah.
To the point where, so you don't care about, I don't care about them. Do you care about them?
I care. I like Switch. The Switch storyline is kind of interesting to me. I liked Ghent was his name, but he's gone. But yeah, you're right. Like,
so let's start spoiling things massively here. So Ghent gets killed.
Yes.
I did not care one bit.
I cared to the point where I liked his character, but like you said, he's just gone now. Like, I thought there was going to be more build up with his character, with the two that they left on the ship. I mean, Switch got a little bit, you got a little bit background on Switch, but yeah, again, just, I wanted more.
And the Switch story comes kind of very much left of field. And I don't know. It just wasn't very credible for me.
I understand. Yeah. Well, he was fairly prominent in the first book, but yeah, this book, he's not really there anymore right now.
Yeah. And so the relationship with the love interest with the Doctor in book one, I thought it was well done, because it doesn't come suddenly. Is very well hinted at instead of we are told. I thought it was very well developed, and you could see it's going to go there. And then all of a sudden, he's got a girlfriend at the beginning of this book that yeah, came out of nowhere. But don't worry, because by page 120, she's out of the picture. Like, you don't even have a chance to develop uh, a liking or a bond or an interest in this new girlfriend because she gets discarded pretty quickly.
Yeah. I was very confused because I thought that, yeah, you're right. I thought he had eyes for the doctor, and then, like, you're right. It just kind of happened out of nowhere, and he's just expecting the readers to be like, oh, okay, this is his new, like, his love interest in the series now. But, yeah. I did enjoy, what is it, Sagara? He's the clone guy. Yeah. I thought they developed him. He's a fairly interesting character. I will give him props for that. But yeah, you're right. Like the other character development wasn't really there, and that's kind of what I like about books. I read books for the characters. And this book is kind of just focusing on the one, but it is a first person. It's his story. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't really. This is kind of rude to say, but I don't really care about Hadrian. Like,
okay, thank you. You know, as I was recording my review of the book about an hour ago, I couldn't even remember the main character's name, and I couldn't even be bothered to go to the book to check to do the review. I just admitted outright, like, this is how little is it, right? That Rokio cannot do or doesn't know how to do character work. Is it just plot of a character, clearly?
Yeah, I'm getting that impression. Yeah, and I have, because I've watched a few other reviews about the Empire of Silence when I was first doing it, and that was a critique. It was there's not the character development that is there is not compelling enough. He can write a great world building. I'll give him that. The world building in this is pretty fun. It's pretty cool. If you're into science fiction, me, not so. I'm not really into science fiction, but I can definitely see the love there. World building is great lore. He's got a lot of good lore. It's just that, yeah, the characters, what I'm interested in, it doesn't really break through. Doesn't shine as much as I would hope.
Like the best secondary character he created was in Empire of Silence, was a cat, the street girl. She got discarded kind of halfway through the book. But do you think, is it a byproduct of the stylistic choice of having Hadrian tell his story from a first-person perspective, or is it that Rokio doesn't know how to do character work?
Well, I guess this is the only works he's got out, so we don't know unless he does another series or something. And can really, although I will say we did read the short story with his brother, and I thought that was decent. And he did a third person narrative kind of thing like that, and that was decent. But this just might be because it's Adrian's story. It might be, we don't know, I guess, until he writes something else and he can develop that full form, that full picture, I guess.
Yeah, but I think it's definitely a point against the series. Like, you're not going to read this series because of the great characters, are you? Because you're going to empathize, root for, or root against any of the characters.
Yeah, correct. I like the cat character. I do like Switch. I think he did the Switch character is a pretty interesting character, in my opinion. I wish that it was more dove into in this book, but it really isn't. It's kind of interesting to see where he's going to go with that. I don't think there's no way Switch is gone from this story. He's going to be back in here.
You hope, right?
I hope, but I hoped that they were going to go on adventures with his crew at the end of the last book, and that didn't really happen.
No, because we had the time, like. That, and it doesn't bother me, but there's a huge time jump between the first and the second book where he's just setting off into space, and all of a sudden, at the beginning of the second book, he's the commander of a mercenary fleet of...
Yes.
And we had a massive time jump there that, like, I'm okay. It's like, oh, all right. And you just got to accept it and move on. And it's not a big issue. but it would have been interesting maybe to see that rather than this book.
See, that when I first picked this one up, I'm like, oh man, we are really into the future. I want to read more about what happened, but you know what? Maybe after this series, I think is 6 or 7 books. Maybe after this series, he's picking up like a prequel series, if you will, that'll tell the stories of what happened. I don't really like that because I wanted to know more about that right after Empire of Silence. And yeah, that was the first like inclination that, oh man, maybe this book, maybe I'm not going to enjoy this as much because yeah, he was like, like you said, he's the captain of this entire thing. And it sounds like they did a lot of stuff together, but you know, and that was when Ghent died, I think he made you want to feel that more. But here's the thing is you didn't really, yeah, for the characters, they've been with him for what? I think the time jump was like 10 years or something like that. Yeah, they probably gave a shit when Ghent died, but the readers here, like, you didn't really show us like why Ghent is awesome. I mean, I saw potential in EOS, but you didn't really show, you know, there's a lot of potential there, but then he's just gone, and you expect Ghent's gone. But you didn't really get, you didn't get it from me because you didn't really build the character up.
It's the old show versus tell, and he's told us, but he hasn't shown us, and that's why we haven't had the chance to feel for these characters. You know who, I don't know, because is this series for sure going to be like 7 books long or something like that?
It's because there's the Ashes of Man, which is the 5th book. It might be six. I think he's doing at least one more.
Because you know who did something like that, but I think his personal issues aside, but Scott Lynch with The Gentleman Bastard, his idea was a trilogy, but he realized that for Locke Lamora to get to where he needed him to be to start the trilogy, he needed to tell his whole story. So that's why The Gentleman Bastards is meant to be 5, 6, 7 books long, because he wants to give us that backstory. And I think here, Rokio has decided to not give us the full story.
Yeah. I guess, since it's not done yet and we haven't completed, maybe we will look back on this and think like, okay, great. So are we kind of like him and Han? This isn't going down a Wheel of Time route, I hope. But it has that potential where you're like, it's just like, because I remember Wheel of Time, the first 3 books were like, all right, this is kind of fun. I think I gave 5 stars to the 2nd book because it was going in a way that I expected it to. The problem with this book series right now is there hasn't been that huge, like, oh, this is going to be fun. I don't know. For me, anyways.
I think this book was unnecessarily long.
Yes, correct.
And so just to backtrack, and so you mentioned about the world building and stuff like that. I've got issues with the world building, and it's a minor thing, right? But it did bother me, and I want your take on it. So my only point of reference for sci-fi is either Star Wars or Dune. I haven't read much more there. I never got into Star Trek or anything like that. But hear me out. We're traveling through space, and he's addressing the issue that to get from one planet to another, these people are having to be put in some sort of cryogenic state. They're frozen. It takes years to get there, right? So when Hadrian goes to see this oracle person that has got contacts with the Sealsing aliens, he gets there after years of traveling through space. And this mystical oracle weird person likes to keep people waiting for like weeks or months. And then Hadrian says, oh, I cannot waste any time. It's like, mate, it's taking you 5 years to get there. The fact that you're going to have to wait 2 weeks is fairly inconsequential to the whole story, because then you're going to have to spend another 12 years traveling somewhere else. So it didn't make sense to me that he would be pressed for time when traveling between worlds takes years, literally.
I didn't think about that, but you brought that's pretty cool. That's an interesting point. No, I didn't. It makes sense now. I was like, yeah, what's 2 weeks when you've been, you know, frozen sleep, whatever that's called.
Yeah.
You know, for 12 years. But yeah, definitely, you're correct. Like, that's nothing, a good argument. Yes.
In this universe, nothing can be and therefore, as an extension of that, to me, the whole setup of the universe having an emperor, like an empire and an emperor that literally, we're told, rules like millions of planets, doesn't make sense. Because by the time something happens anywhere in the galaxy and you have to get there to sort it out.
Does the emperor even know what's going on in this far space?
Well, but he can't. All of us, like, to me, this book, so, like, again, I just keep going back to Star Wars because it's my only point of reference. But in the Star Wars, that wasn't an issue because they decided to not address it. We jump into hyperspace, we're there. We travel between planets within a few seconds, and that's it. And it may not be logical, it may not be physically possible, but it doesn't detract from the story. Whereas here, if you address the physics of a space travel, then your story has to be consistent with those laws of physics. And to me, all of a sudden, it's not.
That's a fair point, fair argument. I didn't really think about that. I was more going to just get lost in the... But yeah, that's definitely a fair point. I try not to, like... I got nothing really to say to that. That's just a fair point right there.
Because it's something like remembering, like, isn't there a point when he wakes up from this frozen sleep and he asks, like, what year is it or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. That was in the first thing, which was, I can kind of see, like, because he did kind of get, like, was it kidnapped or he just not kidnapped? He just kind of got dropped off somewhere and he just, like, it wasn't his plan to. And, like, I think it was, like, 12 years passed or something like that. You're correct. The time thing in this series is, like, how far are we going to jump in the third book? Are we going to just start from – my guess is it's not going to happen. My guess is where he's going to probably have millions of followers because now he's like, the chosen one right now, I guess. I don't know when the third book's going to take place, but I wouldn't be surprised if it take place, like, you know, 50 years from the end of book two, and you're just kind of, we're getting that backfiller. Like, what happened in those 50 years? And like you said, show don't tell. Like, I don't want you to tell me what happened in those 50 years. Can we please let's just start at that, you know, book page one, right after, you know, the end of book two.
And another thing that to me doesn't make sense, maybe someone that has read the books need to explain to me, because all of a sudden, you know, he's finally got together with this doctor lady thing, but he was promised in marriage to the daughter of the guy that... But so many years have passed.
Yeah, whatever happened to that?
like, why would you care about any commitment that you've made to anyone when you can just space travel for 20 years to some other planet?
Yeah.
Apparently, while you're frozen, time doesn't pass for you. But it does for the people that are living their life. Like, unless I don't understand the world here, he could travel around the space, come back, and the young girl that he was promised to in marriage could be a granny by the time that he gets back. So you can just go back and any promises, any debts you've got, any issues, just go for a bit of traveling around.
Yeah.
And your problems would just naturally go away.
Well, what if he goes home right now? What's home look like right now? Like, like, are they still looking for him? Like, do they even know what he looks like? I mean, they know what he looks like because he doesn't change appearances, but that is true. Like, that was a storyline that, we're done with that storyline? Like, because that was a fairly compelling one. He's being promised to marry this girl, and he's trying to get away, and now they're looking for him. His dad's looking for him. The people that he promised marriage to are looking for him now. Are those just gone now? Because, like, yeah, the time passage thing? I don't know.
There's no consequences to anything, really. I don't know. Maybe I've misunderstood how things work in this world, but that's my impression. And it's sort of detracting a little bit from the experience because, like I said, there's no consequences to actions.
So speaking of consequence, like, what did you think when he got into a fight? First of all, I apologize going back to Wheel of Time, but again, Wheel of Time had the issue where at the very end they just threw a villain at you that was supposed to be this super villain. Same kind of thing happened at the end of this book, was that Arenada guy just showed up kind of thing, and he was the big bad of the series or the book, I guess, and you're like, okay, that was quick. Guy got a little bit reminiscence of the Wheel of Time, like, oh crap. But that first fight that he had with him, he died. Hadrian gets his arm cut off and his head cut off. And I'm like, okay, that got me like, whoa, that's never happened before. But then he just comes back, which is like, all right, whatever. But I was a little bit surprised about that. Spoilers.
I think at this point, I should kick these books in the bin and forget about this series. But I am not that kind of reader. But unfortunately, so again, the world building doesn't make sense to me because you've got the science thing on one hand that we just ignore. And then you've got the mystical fantasy. There's a lot of fantasy here that, again, if this is meant to be some kind of plausible future us, because, you know, they have evolved from Earth and, you know, there's a common past between us and this series, right? The fact that there's this mystical force out in the universe that can bring you back to life, and that there's some kind of weird organic artificial intelligence that can tell the future, is like, for me, I'm having a what the fuck moment. Like, is this science fiction or is this fantasy fiction? Or is it? And don't get me wrong, in Star Wars, we had the Force, but for some reason, the Force made sense in Star Wars, but it doesn't make sense here.
That was one thing I was a little confused. Like, okay, so the cigar guy brought him back, or no, it was the quiet or something like, which we still don't really know, or at least I don't know what this quiet is. But you're right, it's like a Force type entity, if you will.
So
I don't know. I was just kind of like holding on to the roller coaster.
Yeah, help me try to understand this. So in theory, this Americani that he keeps referring to in the past, that must be Americans, right? They're the first ones that set from Earth to colonize.
I would say so because he knows who Napoleon is. So
we assume, right? Now, in the history of this world, they created some artificial intelligence that then kind of took over. Is that right?
I guess we don't know. I mean, but I'm assuming maybe, probably.
But this, the quiet thing, what is that? What is that?
That I have no idea. I thought that was just kind of like, it was kind of mysterious, you know, halfway through the book when you first realize that there's something talking to him.
It's a kind of hive mind thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's just, it wasn't really, I'm very confused about that. And I'm assuming we're going to find out more about that because I didn't think we got a good enough explanation. But as far as I can tell, it's some sort of, is it a god? I don't know. It's a hive mind god type creature or entity that has godlike powers, and or is this like, because when the elevator pitch for this book is basically if Anakin Skywalker did the right thing by turning to the dark side, is this quiet a Palpatine-esque character who is, he's you know, we don't know who the reveal is and stuff like that or what's going on. This is just my thoughts. Or is this character like an ultimate universe dominator who's just using Hadrian as his soldier in this giant godlike war or something like that? That's far out fantasy, but that's the only way I can kind of explain it. Is it's like the Palpatine character who's just using Vader as a tool, I guess. That's the best thing I got.
If that was the premise of the story as we move forward, would you be disappointed with it?
I mean, what do they say? There's 7 original plots and Shakespeare wrote them all. So, I mean, Rocchio, like, he borrows a lot from Dune, so I wouldn't be surprised if he borrows from Star Wars. That's a little, I don't know. Like, I guess I would understand the story, and we just got to read and find out, I guess. But I would probably be a little disappointed. How about you? Would you? I mean, we've seen this before.
I got a feeling that I'm going to be disappointed with this series, because what I would like it to be is just this battle between the humans and the Sealsin.
Yes.
Because there are some really interesting concepts. So it's not all bad. I mean, so far we've focused on what doesn't work in this book, and I think there's a fair amount that doesn't work. But I found very interesting the kind of insights into the Sealsin mind. They've got a different set of values and a different mentality, so they don't understand a trade between equals. All the negotiations break down because then Sealsin can only see victor and defeated. And I thought that was a really interesting premise. And of course, you're going to have conflict there. And I wish we just focused on that and we make do without all the supernatural fantasy stuff.
That's what I expected from this book. I thought it was going to be like you said, humans versus an alien race who's, you know, conquering the galaxy, and this ragtag group of people who are, you know, they're just kind of on the sidelines watching this war, because it's kind of like all war, like both sides, like you're wearing both sides who don't want to be, in this, this conflict. And I thought that in the last book where when he, you know, he's interacting with is his name Tanneran or something like that.
Yeah.
I thought, like, are they going to befriend this character? And he's going to be like, he's going to see the sides of the humans. And then it's just going to be this epic tale of galactic war. When we saw it with Star Wars, but you know what? That worked. I like Star Wars. Why can't it work here?
That could go, like, that could be one way it goes, and that's, you know, I would have been fine with that. But equally, I wouldn't mind at all if he just went down more the philosophical route of trying to, you know, broker peace between these two philosophically incompatible ideology. I'm happy to explore that, and we had a bit of a taste of that in the last 100 and whatever pages of the book. I found that really interesting.
Yeah.
Wheel of Time. It does think of Wheel of Time.
It does. I'm just kind of, I don't, it's, it hasn't hit that high point yet for me. Like the ends of the books do a little bit, but at the same time, like, I don't want to be dragged along and then just, have this thing just reel me back in. But yeah, you're right. I'm getting a lot of those vibes, especially like I think it was Fires of Heaven where I was just hate reading it. I just hated it. And I really did when he was in that prison cell for you know, the weeks just talking to himself, and that clone creature thing. I can't remember his name, but
yeah.
Oh my God. I was just like, ugh, like, when does this end?
Yeah. 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 You're right. You're right. I did dread a little bit the middle part of the book. What makes it more readable is that the chapters are quite short.
Yes.
And I think that helps. So the way this second book ends, like, there's no chance of peace now with this Yeltsin, right? That, you know, he literally kills the son of this prince.
Yeah. You know,
live broadcast there on TV. So I think maybe we're going to go down the route that you were talking about, this big battle between the two species.
Well, it does. Like, the whole book is he destroys this race. We don't see that yet, but he does. He's like the sun. They call him the Sun Eater because he destroys the Seelson. So, yeah, is the third book going to... Were these two books just basically giant prequels to get to that third book where now, okay, he is the chosen one who's going to destroy this race? Because, yeah, I think Aranata, he was the prince, I believe. He was the prince, or he was the son of the prince? I think he was the prince.
Yeah, some kind of, although there seemed to be some kind of, it's not like a cohesive society. So there seemed to be like different tribes. And he was like the prince of one of the tribes or something like that.
So we're definitely going to get a lot of conflict in the future, because you just can't, I mean, he kills his daughter. Like, that was... like, oh, wow, that's a big move. I mean, I guess Aranata was killing a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And he just had to kill the daughter, Nabuto, or whatever. Killed the daughter. And then, but, so again, we're just like, we're on that, just like, is the third book going to be the one where I'm like, all right. To me, I think the third book is sink or swim, to be honest, because... If it's just like this, I will try to find the fourth book. Maybe I'll rent it from the library, but I will not be excited at all. I'm just waiting. I don't know. I'm dreading the third book, because I think it is. I believe the third book is the longest.
It's another chunker. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have the third book yet?
I got it. Yeah. It's on the shelf. Okay.
And I'm just it's. It's a big book, so I'm just going to, I don't know. I really, really hope that, and I feel bad because a lot of people did like this series, but I'm just not, and it just might not be science fiction, just might not be my thing. And I do feel bad because I did a reading update like 2 weeks or something like that. I kind of trashed the book because it was right after I finished it. I was just like, yeah, it ended fine. But at the same time, the ride wasn't worth the destination. And I do feel bad because a lot of people love this series. And I'm just kind of like, this isn't doing it for me. And I apologize to anybody watching that loves this series, but it's just not doing it for me right now. I'm going to continue and just slog through. Just hoping I get to that point where people are like, yeah. But the thing with a lot of people did say that the second book is where it really starts to kick off.
But it doesn't really do anything special, though.
No. No.
Like, was it a massive... Compared to the first book, Empire of Silence, Howling Dark, I think they are on par, maybe. Possibly. Maybe the first book's a little bit better because it's introducing you to this new world and this new thing, whereas the second one, it does plod along for a long time.
I enjoyed the first book better because we had more small stories. It was like a book of short stories. I liked the gladiator stuff. I liked the cat where he met Cat. You know, when he met all Switch and all that. I liked that. The ending was fairly entertaining when he finally, you know, meets the Sealson. He meets the captive Sealson. I like that. But this book was basically, to me, when I look back, it's giant time jump. Ghent gets killed by that ugly looking creature guy. I can't remember his name. They kill that creature guy, and then it's just this long, like, I'm in a prison dungeon cell, and then okay, I will say, like, when Bassander Lynn, the that former captain, shows up, because yeah, that's right, we skipped that part. Is he basically steals a ship? I think he abandons Bassander Lynn's group, and I think I think he killed a few people, part of his group, or injured them severely, if I remember correctly. I think he killed them.
Yeah.
Killed a few people. So, and then Switch betrays, which was a shock to me. Holy shit. Switch has betrayed the group because, out of love, I guess, because he was worried that Hadrian was in trouble. So he calls Bassander Lynn. Yeah, Lynn comes with his fleet, and then Sagara brokers a deal with them that they're going to trade. And, you know, that's when the story kind of picked up. But yeah, it was basically a long slog to me.
Yeah, and the whole middle section when he's talking to this hive mind thing that speaks in riddles, there's a lot of ellipses there. And I hate it when there's all this cryptic talking that makes absolutely no sense, or I am too stupid to get the meaning. But it's not like it's hinting at something that you could feasibly figure out. It's just talking cryptically for the sake of it.
Yeah. I don't think you're too stupid. I'm also right in the same boat. It's like, I have no idea what we're doing in this chapter. I was watching a few reviews just trying to explain the better story, just to figure out what was going on. I don't know what's happening. It's just set up for the next books.
Just had a 4-year-old breaking into the room. Just my wife had to snatch him away. I don't know, Ian. The third book is definitely a make or break situation. I think I don't know. I don't know if you watched my last videos, where a lot of what I read is pretty meh.
I saw that.
And I think this has contributed to it.
I will give you that.
Because I'll tell you, right? So this book is, what, 650-something pages in this edition here, right? But
yeah,
something like Dresden Files is pretty meh as well. But we're done in half the size, in 350 pages. So I'm happy to read something that is meh. It entertains me for a little bit. And then I'm ready to move on. There you go, Matt. He just popped in to say hi.
Oh, hello, Matt. Yes, definitely don't watch this video. We spoil it right off the bat, so do not do that.
Yeah, but thank you for popping in, Matt. Appreciate that. Thank you. So, you know, I'm happy to read something that is mediocre for 350 pages, because at least I'm entertained for a bit. I'm not happy to read something mediocre for 650 pages. It's just too much of my time.
That 350 pages, I can knock that out in a week. Just be like, okay, because I'll know that I can get done with this book fairly quickly and move on to something else. This one is just like you get to page 400 and you look like, God dang it, there's still 200 something pages left, and it's to me, he uses those time jumps to move the story forward, which I don't really like. because the time that we are in time in, I just feel that the story doesn't progress to the point where I'm interested enough.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying though. Like, yeah, the, like, maybe you're, you know, regardless of your last video, like, because you did mention John Gwynn. Maybe that's what, see, that's my problem with John Gwynn. When I read John Gwynn, and we're going off on a tangent here, apologies.
No, it's fine. Let's go. I prefer that. Let's go. Go on.
John Gwynn, what is my top fantasy guy right now? And that might be a problem because I'm comparing everything to what I read in John Gwynn book, the character development, the world building. And when you fall short of that, I just get let down because it's not going to be to that standard. So it's possible. I just read the best fantasy book that I enjoy and I can't find the next fix. I can't find that fix.
My issue with John Gwynn is that I read him very late in my life, right? And I have read a lot of, not a lot of. I have read some fantasy before. So for me, John Gwynn doesn't bring anything new to the table, but whatever he did was well done. It was a well-executed, entertaining, but, you know, Faithful and the Fallen. I know you've read everything else. I just read Faithful and the Fallen. But Faithful and the Fallen, I can imagine, for someone that isn't very well read in fantasy, if they pick that series, you're going to go, wow, this is pretty good. And some people will be out there that disagree. But I think that Faithful and the Fallen, I would recommend that to anyone starting in fantasy because it's got all the cliches, it ticks all the boxes, but it does it well.
What's your favorite pie? You like apple pie?
Yeah.
Okay. He's making an apple pie. Everybody's had apple pie. Apple pie, you can't really screw up. But it's just that it's nice, warm apple pie. And you know what's going to be good.
It's well done.
That's exactly what John Gwynn is you're going to get a good fantasy story. Yes, it's going to hit all those tropes. But it's apples, sugar, cinnamon, and sugar. And you put it in the oven and bake an apple pie, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Whereas, I don't know, but you know what this is doing? Because I'm fed up. I'm kind of getting fed up of big chunkers. I need another series, like I need another child. I don't know. Anyway, but it's made me curious about going back to Isaac Asimov. And maybe picking up the robot series because they are shorter books. And I'm curious about maybe he was like a sort of, you know, the father figure of sci-fi. So I'm curious to go back to, I never read Asimov. I haven't read anything by him. I think I tried as a kid to pick the first Foundation book. And I gave up after 5 pages. I think I wasn't ready for it. Mm. Have you read any Asimov?
I haven't read any Asimov. I heard the name escape. Who wrote the Blade Runner stuff? Is that Asimov? No, that wasn't.
Philip Dick. Philip K. Dick.
Okay, yeah. I've heard he's a very good a starting point, too. I haven't read a lot of those. I guess the oldest science fiction guy I've read is Herbert with Dune. And then I've read a few Heinlein. I've read Starship Troopers, and I think that was the only one I read from him. But I have not read Philip K. Dick or Asimov. But a lot of people are – because isn't that – did Asimov write that – it's Romula – Mission to Rama – something like Rama or something like – Mission to Rama or something. That's going to be coming the guy who did Dune, the movie, is going to – that's his next project after Dune is the Mission to Rama or something like that. And I believe that's an Asimov story, but I could be wrong. But I haven't read – I've heard good things. I just don't – I'm just not really into sci-fi, I guess, that hard science fiction. That's why, like, I kind of gravitated to this series is, you know, you were told that it's science fiction for a fantasy reader. And you can definitely get those fantasy elements. But yeah, I'm just not into like the hardcore science fiction, I guess.
But in this series, do you think the fantasy elements and the sci-fi are blending well together?
I guess, like you said, you have that world building issue with the time jumping and stuff like that. I'm not 100% sure on that one. Being that I haven't read too many hard science fiction books, I don't know what to look for.
No, but forgetting about that, like what you're reading, is it gelling together? Is it making sense to you?
Yes and no. The quiet stuff is like the thing that the metaphors and stuff like that with the quiet and the hive mind thing that I'm not understanding too much, but everything else, like, you know, he basically has a lightsaber that's, you know, and yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I mean, it's about as hard science fiction as like Star Wars is. I mean, there's not too many, you know, stuff like that, but it is what it is. But I don't know. I'm not having an issue blending it really, except for those few things.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's going to be one of those series that I finish. But at the moment, I'm not feeling. In my experience, these things don't tend to get better.
And that, unfortunately, that's what I'm scared about. That book three is make or break. It might be one of those things where because I know when we were Wheel of Time, I think we took 3 months off before we, I think it was right after Fires of Heaven and then something else. Like, no, we said,
we only took one month off.
We only took a month off?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I suppose that's true because we did.
We were doing one book a month. We were being really hardcore about
that. Okay, that's right. It felt so bad. I thought it was 3 months. It just. And I know we're going to have to wait a little bit because on Ash is a Man for the paperback, unless I get it from the library or something like that. But I don't want to buy a hardcover for it's not blowing me away enough for me to spend $30 on a hardcover.
No.
So we might have to wait after the fourth book, unless you can find it in a library or something like that, or the ebook form.
Not here.
But I do not want to DNF this, but it's close. It's close. we'll all have to come together after the third book or something like that. Just decide what the heck's going on.
Yeah. And the thing is, I've been put off fantasy recently. Like I don't want to read any more fantasy because the next one I pick up, I want it to be good. I don't want to pick another mediocre stuff. So I have plans to read Memory, Sorrow, and Thorn by Tad Williams. And now I'm thinking I don't want to pick it up. I want to take a long break from fantasy. The only one that could entice me is Malazan because, you know, Malazan. But
yeah, I read the first book right after we got done talking about it because I was interested and it hurt my head. I'm glad I finished it, but there's a lot of stuff that was, there's a podcast out there that is like a read along podcast with it. So it's got a guy who's read the book before or read the series, I should say. And it's got two people who, one, this is their first fantasy series, which is mind blowing that you pick this as your first fantasy. And then two, a guy who's read fantasy and wanted to read it. So it's got a guy who's kind of navigating the two other people. And they'll read, I think they read like five chapters, come together, do the podcast. And I can listen to those five chapters. I'll read the five chapters that they're doing and then listen to it and trying to figure out, like, because it's you're going to need to bounce ideas off you're not going to understand what's happening. And really? It's kind of nice to have somebody who can explain, like, yeah, you don't have to worry too much about that. Like, don't focus on that. You know, just, I would be down to doing it again. I'd have to reread the first book, but it's I don't know.
Everyone keeps saying that, but I keep thinking, like, how hard can a book be? But apparently it is. But
I know. I know. Oh, believe me, there's been times when I got done with the book a chapter, like, I just threw it down. Like, I cannot continue right now. It's an interesting story, very complex, but it is like a mind. I don't know. I've never read a book like that where it's just like, it's kind of frustrating, but at the same time, you want to continue, but I will make one suggestion. You've seen this on like the Brian Lee Durfee stuff, the Five Warrior Angels. That hit all of the John Gwynn stuff. And that series is done. It's three books. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there that maybe that'll get your, you know, it's great. It's again, it's apple pie, but it's good apple pie. You know what you're going to get. It's not going to break it. It's not going to turn anything. It's not going to turn the fantasy world on your head, but it's a good reset. That's what after reading a book like Malazan, you're kind of like, I want to reset. Like, just because I can't move on with that right now. But let's go back to the bread and butter, you know, the X's and O's, and read a solid fantasy story. But
yeah, I like recently, I don't know quite what's happened. So a couple of indie authors approached me directly asking me to read and review the books.
Okay.
And I'm like, have you seen my content? Like, are you sure you want me to review your book? Because like, I had to say to this one, I should finish it tonight, but realistically I finish it tomorrow. And I said to her, look, I'm going to say what I actually think. I don't feel obliged to rave about it just because you sent me a free copy. And she was like, no, that's fine. And oh man, like, I can see why it's an indie book. Like, you're not bringing anything new to the table. It's just like, I think there's too many people writing fantasy now. Maybe everything has been done. The one thing I've always said is that I'm like, all there is left to be done is for someone to write a fantasy series where the Dark Lord wins. That's it. That's all there is left to do.
Isn't that what we're reading right now? Because technically, that is kind of what we're reading right now. Like, that's what the pitch was. Is what if Darth Vader was right?
Is it though?
That's the way that I was told all this story. It's basically, yeah, the elevator pitch for it was, what if Anakin Skywalker turning to the dark side was the right thing to do? He does, at the end of the series, he does destroy an entire race of people. So he's a villain in somebody's eyes.
Yeah, but then surely for that to be the case, I say surely as if, then we should have been told the story from the Sielsin point of view.
Isn't that what's that? Is that Prince of Nothing? Not Prince of Nothing. Mark Lawrence. You know Mark Lawrence, right?
Yeah,
Doesn't he have a series where it's kind of following the bad guy? I tried reading it. I was like, I don't want to follow a bad guy. Like, that's just not my thing.
All right. But then Prince of Lawrence. There you go. So maybe everything's been done then.
Yeah, I know, but I like apple pie, so I'm gonna just keep. I'm gonna keep eating, you know, the same thing, because it's just good. Maybe you should. What I do when I don't want to read fantasy, I'll pick up. I don't know if you're into like mysteries or stuff like that. Like, pick up a mystery book just to get that palate cleanser.
What have I got there in the back burner? I've got like a horror book I picked up over Christmas. I've been reading more comics recently. I've got a couple of horror books there, a couple of comics, something totally different. But I think maybe, depending on how the third book goes, I may just go completely off fantasy. And I don't know, maybe I'll just read boxing biographies or something like that. I really need to.
Did I see, was it you who picked up, you know, Garth Ennis's? The graphic novel? He wrote The Preacher. Did I see? I thought I saw that. Did you read The Preacher?
Ages. Yeah. I reviewed it about ages ago. I read Preacher.
Okay.
I read Preacher two or three times back to back.
Okay. Preacher's one of the best.
Yeah. All basically, because I think that's something. Yeah, because I did review the last volume of American Vampire. When DC Comics knew what they were doing, everything they put out on the Vertigo label was really worth checking out. So that's when you had that golden age of Preacher, Sandman, 100 Bullets, Why the Last Man, the Saga of the Swamp Thing. All of that, American Vampire, all of that stuff was great. So anything you pick up from that time is worth checking out.
Okay. All right. So, I've read a few graphic novels just in between, just to get palate cleansers, but I don't think I'll actually ever fully stop reading fantasy. I'll just slow down, I guess. Like you said,
You're right. There's a certain level of, I don't know what it is. I don't want to call it addiction, but it is.
I would recommend pick up the second series of John Gwynn. If you love the Faithful and the Fallen, you're gonna love Blood and Bone. In my opinion, it just makes Faithful and the Fallen so much better. It just builds on that.
Right.
So I would definitely recommend picking up those three books.
see how it goes. Ooh, speaking of, and incidentally, so you finally started with the Night Angel trilogy by Brent Weeks.
I did. I read the first book. Okay. So. I gave it 3 stars. It's not a 4 or 5. I gave it 3 stars. I do enjoy it, the characters, the Blint character, is his name Durzo Blint? Durzo Blint character is interesting.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Hadrian is. I don't really care about Kyler or Azoth. Is his name Azoth or Kyler?
Yeah.
I'm not typically caring so much about him, which is a problem, is if I don't care about the main character, like everything going around, all that, the with the prince and is his name Logan. Logan is his friend. And that, it kind of ended like, whoa, okay. So the first book ends with, you know, there's a lot of apples in the air. I will say I did enjoy the background characters. Not so much Kyler, but I did enjoy Blint characters. Pretty cool. Mama Kay's cool. Logan, I want to know more about his story. But I should say the assassin type tropes, like Assassin's Creed stuff, not really into assassins, and that's exactly what that book is just, you know, basically assassins and stuff like that coming of age. I will say, like, I was a little put off, but they took care of it. He was 11 years old when this book started, and I was like, I'm not going to be reading about an 11-year-old assassin, am I? Because I don't want to read it. But we took care of that.
Yeah, there's time
jumps. I think he's like 18 or something like that.
That's right.
Okay. I was a little put off at the very beginning because, like, I don't want to read about an 11-year-old assassin.
No, you're right.
I have the other two. I'm looking at them. I have the entire series, and I believe he is going to do – I think he's jumping back into that series. I think he's got something else coming.
Right, so the first book of a new series back in that world just came out or is about to come out.
Okay.
My issue with Brent Weeks, I think, is that he's trying to be Brandon Sanderson, because in Lightbringer series, there is this kind of, at the very end of Lightbringer, there's this kind of universe hopping character that makes an appearance towards the end. So maybe he's trying to build some kind of shared universe.
I could definitely because I don't understand the magic system. The talent is what they call it in the Night Angels. That's definitely like a brand or a a Sanderson type of thing, like Mistborn. But I'm not 100% sure what the talent is. I don't really. I didn't get it. But no,
it's not a super hard magic system. It gets worse. Okay. Like in the Lightbringer series, he's got a full on hard magic system that is actually quite cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's the color one, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I read the first one and I didn't continue. I didn't like it, so I didn't continue with the Lightbringer. But that magic system's pretty cool. So I'm just thinking too hard on this talent thing. I'm thinking it's overcomplicated, but it's really pretty easy, my guess is.
Yeah. It's not that. Yeah. I've got fond memories of that series. I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, no, I will continue. I'm in the middle of another. I just got a. I did a Kickstarter for an author named David Estes, and he signed this book for me, and I'm in the book because the Kickstarter was if you do it, you're gonna be put in the thank yous and stuff like that. So I thought that was pretty cool, and it's kind of like a blend of basically it's from what I'm thinking, what it feels like is X-Men in a fantasy world type thing where you have these fate marked is what they're called, but they're basically like these mutants. They have special powers and they're hunted because if you've read X-Men comics, X-Men are not liked by humans. Like, you know, in this world, they're killed if you find out to be fate marked. So I'm kind of starting that series, but I do have I've got the other two. Just trying to find time to read them. But I really don't like the assassin trope fantasy setting. But I will say I gave it 3 stars. That's a good book in my opinion.
Yeah. But, well, no, that's fair enough.
Yeah. And that's kind of it for what I'm reading. Like the Howling Dark really did put me it stopped me in my tracks. Like I said, it took about a month and a half. And usually with those books, I can read those books in, you know, a week, 2 weeks. And this one just like I did not want to pick it up. So I'm kind of slumping. I'm slumping hard right now just because of that book. And yeah. I got to start the next book. I think we're starting in May. Like, yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. Because after that, I picked up one of these indie authors that approached me. And it's a kind of romantic, there's a bit more romance. It's a female author. And that's not to say all female authors are like that, but their romance elements are a lot more prominent. And it's like, oh, this is not great. And I really need, in the next 2 weeks, I really need something to put me in a better frame of mind before approaching Demon and Wife.
Yeah, you're going to have to, yeah. I don't know what to tell you. Good luck, no, I guess. No.
I think at this point, I'm really excited to pick up the next Dresden Files book because kind of I know Apple Pie. Apple Pie.
You know, how far are you interested in?
Book, I think the next one I'm going to pick is book 6, I think.
I think there's 12 right now, I believe.
Or even more, but I'm not bothered. I'm in no rush at all. For me, Dresden is like a palate cleanser. It's like a, you know, apple pie before moving on to other things.
I read the first two and just like, yeah, I don't know. It generic, if you will. Yeah. But yeah, like you said, apple pie. But it didn't really hit my
No. My the first four, or maybe I've only read the first four, but it's so formulaic. They all follow the same formula. They all do the same thing. And Harry's got plot armor, and there's a lot of convenience moments and stuff like that. So that's why I read one every 4 or 5 months, and it's like, oh, okay, I'm in the frame of mind where I can stomach it again and be excited about it. But I wouldn't read them back to back because they really are not that good or that creative.
Yeah. And I'm not a huge fan. I don't like first person narrative. That's why I'm not really enjoying Hadrian's story. I much rather get a third person narrative book because you get, you know, different characters. I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe that's why I'm not really enjoying the Sun Eater series, because I like stories like John Gwynne where you get everybody's perspective.
Yeah.
I like that jumping around stuff. I don't really like following one guy, and that's what the Dresden Files, that's all first person stuff like that. So I mean,
but like I said before, but at least they are 350 pages long instead of 650.
Yeah,
that's the saving grace.
I don't know. Well, hopefully, yeah. Just May 1st, just just chugging along again, I guess.
I think we hit the end of today, isn't it?
I think we've hit a wall. I want to thank. I get this. I think I'm gonna have to do this on my phone from now on. I don't know what was going on with the laptop. My guess is that, but it sounds like this is working very well.
Yeah, that's right. A lot better. That's right.
So I will definitely just have my phone charged up, and we're just gonna have to do this on my phone in the next 2 months. So apologies to everybody for that first, I don't know, 15 minutes that we were trying to figure this stuff out. But we finally did. It was on my end because my laptop is garbage. But we figured it out. I guess thanks for watching. Hopefully we didn't dissuade you from this series. I will be continuing with it. But, I mean,
there's a big question mark at the moment.
There's a big question mark. We will have to reconvene for the third book and kind of decide on if we continue, unfortunately, because if it does like this again, I don't know if I'm going to do. There's so many books out there in the world that I want to read.
Yeah.
I don't want to go through another Wheel of Time where we knew we hated it. We're on book 8 and we're just like, we still have what? 12. It was like 3, 4, 5 books left. And we just continued on. I don't know if I want to continue it. I don't know if I want to do that again.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right.
But
anyway,
all right.
Ian, thank you very much. And everyone else that watches this at some later point in the future, I'm not going to apologize if we've put you off, because I think that's part of the deal. Anyway, thank you, everyone, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Thank you.
And